You'll turn your Bibles, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil. God was really sweet there, wasn't he? And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, listen to this, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Lord, we love you. We appreciate your word. And I just pray right now, God, that you're just moving this house here tonight. God, that you'll touch every heart. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to each one. Anoint your servant, Lord, to speak your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you. Voices, what are you listening to? Voices, what are you listening to? When we read this in John 8, verse 44, Jesus is saying that Satan, when he lies, he speaks his native language. And he is a liar. And he's the father of lies. And I want us to, folks, to examine some things. I want us to examine some of the voices that we often hear in our heads. And no, we're not crazy because we hear things sometimes. Amen? And therefore, we act on them. And I want us to see if we are listening to the father of lies or if we are listening to God. You see, Christians often are good at putting ourselves down. Come on. We're pretty good at that, aren't we? And we don't often see ourselves as God sees us. And so, one of the things that people will tell themselves, well, I've done so much wrong in my life that God cannot use me. You see, Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, if you are a child of God tonight, he is not trying to condemn you. God wants to use you, and he's not going to go around putting you down and beating on you and then turn around and say, I want to use you. Come on. Any parents in the house tonight? Do you constantly put your kids down? Do you constantly tell them they're no good? If you are, you're not a good parent. But we try to encourage them and tell them they can do better in life. Amen. And so God is, the word of God is telling us in Romans, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Folks, Satan loves to condemn us and he loves to make us think that we are of no use to anyone. But the Bible clearly states we are not condemned. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It is in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we ought to worship God. We ought to be thankful for all that he's done. When we walk into the house of God, we ought to praise like nobody else praises. Why? Because he is our righteousness. It is in him. Hallelujah. As Christians, we have Christ's righteousness placed on us. Listen, folks, when God looks down on us, he sees what Christ has done for us. I think tonight that if we see what Christ has done in our lives, we ought to praise God. We ought to praise him for all the work he has done in our life. Another thing that Satan likes to put us down. As Christians, we think these things. We think that I'm not smart, or I'm poor, or maybe I'm too fat, or maybe I'm too short, or maybe I'm too skinny, or maybe I'm the wrong skin color. Hey man, you just go ahead and fill in the blank, whatever the devil likes to put in your head, and you like to think that that's the reason that God cannot use you. Hey man, Psalms 139:13-14. For you are created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Listen to me, folks. God created us, and I'm telling you tonight, God does not make junk. When we start complaining about our different characteristics or our lot in life, what you are doing is you are telling God, God, you made a mistake and you don't appreciate His creation. You see, if Satan can get us to focus on what we don't like about ourselves, he helps us to take our eyes off of God. God loves us, and that is period. God loves you tonight, folks. He does not judge us based on the world's standards. Another thing that we put ourselves down about. Well, nothing's going right. I'm overwhelmed. Is God even there? Why isn't God getting me out of this situation? Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, you declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. Hallelujah. You see, Satan loves to tell us if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through this right now. He wants us to doubt God. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I take great comfort in the idea that whatever is going on in my life, it did not catch God by surprise. Hear me tonight, folks. I don't care what's going on in your life. God knows. He didn't say, oh my goodness, how did that happen? It didn't take God by surprise. He also knows how the difficulty I am experiencing. He knows how it's going to be resolved. God loves us. God wants to build us up. Satan wants to destroy. You know what else? We put ourselves down. I'm really struggling financially right now. Why isn't God meeting my needs? Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I'm asking you tonight, are you in Christ Jesus? Come on. Who truly owns everything to begin with? God does. Who knows your needs? God does. You see, in my own life, God has answered financial difficulties in amazing ways. God truly wants us to trust in Him. And the rampant materialism in our society is truly a lie from Satan, folks. We continue to think more stuff and will make us happy. But in the end, it does not make you happy. Stuff will never fill your deep longing. Only Christ will. Another thing. Well, I worry about everything. One of your problems. I know God will take care of things, but I have a hard time waiting on God. Matthew 6:25-27. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store anyway in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? I always say, rock you, worrying gives you something. It's like a rocker. It gives you something to do, but don't get you anywhere. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all of your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Amen? Worrying is ultimately, folks, not trusting God and denying that God is in control. Has your worry ever solved a problem? Have you worried a problem into resolution? Give your worries to God. Why? Because He can take care of them and you. Amen. Satan wants us to worry, folks. And because, again, it'll take your focus off of God. One of Satan's first lies to Eve was this. Did God really say? Did God really say? Then he went on to say, well, you won't certainly die. Then he went on to say, and you will be like God. You see, that's a lie. Still, that lie is still working today. Let me tell you something, folks. People want to be in control, and people want everything their way. Come on. Hebrews 13:17 says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your soul, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. See, we have a problem in today's age. People don't want to do that word, submit. Listen, let's look at some things that people were listening to, this some different voices. When you read in 2 Chronicles 18:6-7, it says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. This is neat. But I hate him. Oh my. But I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Elamah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. You see, when you read this in 2 Chronicles, we read about Ahab and you read about Jehoshaphat and Micaiah. And I want to see tonight how they are connected. You see, the first time we read about Jehoshaphat, he is the bodyguard of David. And he began to work his way up the ranks until under Solomon's rule, he became a state officer of very high rank. And eventually became the king of Judah. And what a king. You see, he sent priests out to instruct the people in the law. But he made a disastrous mistake. He made an alliance with Ahab, the king of Israel. Ahab was a wicked, a perverse king of Israel. Ahab's wife was Jezebel. Need I say any more? The way these guys are connected is through their alliance. And this alliance led them to a battle in a place called Ramoth Gilead. It is something how these birds of a feather flock together. The prophets, they prophesied this because Ahab wanted to consult his 400 prophets. And they prophesied a great victory in an upcoming battle, even though they knew there was no way they were going to win. And Jehoshaphat, he wasn't quite sure about trusting these prophets. And he asked Ahab if there was another prophet of the Lord around. And Ahab tells him that there's one other prophet in Israel named Micaiah. But listen how this wicked king describes his prophet. Amen. 2 Chronicles 18:7. There is yet one man by whom we inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. You see, Ahab, folks, sends for the prophet. And the prophet is told by the man that went to fetch him that he is being called to prophesy about an upcoming battle. Micaiah basically is told the messenger, I'll prophesy to the king what the Lord tells me to. Micaiah told Ahab that Israel was going to be scattered and be like sheep without a shepherd. But Ahab would not listen to the words, or he would not listen to the voice of truth. But he chose to listen to the voice of those false prophets. So the question I have is this. Tonight, what voice are you listening to? What voice are you hearing from? What voice have you allowed to influence your life? You see, prior to making decisions, what is the voice you are listening to? I want us to think about this question, and possibly maybe you can discover how to discern between positive and negative voices in your life. I'd like to start with presumption. You see, many people seek only counselors whose words are appealing. Well, I like that sound. Ahab had a host of such prophets. He had them all around him. He had lulled himself into a false sense of security by believing that he had the word of the Lord and he had the approval of wise counselors. You see, folks, leaders are in a dangerous place when they surround themselves with yes men. So notice the words of Ahab concerning the godly prophet Micaiah. He said in verse 7, he never prophesies good concerning me. You know, people are always looking for flattering prophets. Come on. Well, I just don't like that harshness. Those who will just say what they want to hear. That's who I want to be around. Those that tell me how good I am. You see, there are some Christians who will go around from person to person and talk to them. It stroke my ego. They'll buy books for people that'll stroke their ego. They'll buy CDs or DVDs, whatever it is they want to buy. And they look for someone who will say what I want to hear what good things about me. I want to hear how I'm doing all right. I know I'm not doing everything, but I want people to tell me I'm doing everything right. Some people listen to every preacher in town. Listen, let me tell you something. If you search long enough, you'll always find someone who's willing to agree with you. But you can always find someone who will say what you want to hear. You see, the world laughs at the characters of those fire brimstone preachers. And they mock these such men. But you know why? Because they don't want to hear a message of judgment. A message that makes them uncomfortable. A message that demands a decision. You see, so they laugh and they run off with their flattering prophets to say, be at peace, all is well. I thank God that in my own life I have always had and still have people who can call my cards. Come on. People who know me well enough and who love me enough to tell me the truth. To give me counsel I need to hear rather than just what I want to hear. You see, many people seek only counselors whose words are appealing to them. And the world has such counselors in abundance, folks. You can find them anywhere. They'll tell you if you look long enough. See, there's no shortage of people who are willing to say what you want to hear. And in fact, if there is a shortage, it's those who will tell you what you need to hear. Many people are crying out, tell us about God of love who will accept our sins and who will not condemn us. You see, not this God of fiery judgment. We don't want that. And they find their prophets of comfort. You see, there are certain pastors that are prepared to preach such a one-sided, half-truth gospel because they don't want to offend. These are the kind of men, folks, who will sell their own souls for the sake of popularity. Billy Sunday said 100 years ago, he said this, the theater gives you people what gives people what they want. The church gives people what they need. Amen? If you need to be satisfied, go to the theater. Amen. But you need to go to a church. Amen, folks, that'll stomp on your toes every now and then. Amen, to say, hey, you need to get your act together. Come on. I want to be saved. I don't know about you, but I want to make my way to heaven. Come on. If I need smacked around a little bit, God, smack me around. Other people inquire, why won't my road lead to God? Well, why won't my road lead to God? I'm Buddhist or I'm Hindu. Follow Hare Krishna. My Savior will do. And there are plenty of voices willing to answer, yes, of course. All religions lead to God. All religions lead to God. Acts 4:12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Amen. You see, our young people, folks, our young people are getting disillusioned with life and begin to question whether life is worth living. Suicide seems an easy way out, and so why cry out? Is this the way? And they try to find their prophets of agreement in rock and roll and all kinds of music, counselors who sing their messages of death. The world has, yes, counselors in abundance. Amen, folks, I'm telling you, we need somebody in our life that'll say, get your act together. You have to make heaven your home. Wise people seek only godly counsel, even though it contains no flattery and often is hard hitting at us. I'm telling you, if you are wise, you'll seek the counsel that will get you to heaven. The wise man's prayer is, I would rather a word of rebuke at thy mouth, O Lord, than rivers of praise from lips of men. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 9:7-9. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Ecclesiastes 7:5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of few fools. The wise Christian, hear me tonight, folks. The wise Christian seeks godly counsel even when that counsel doesn't please this flesh. But we are still left with the question, how can we discern between earthly counsel and godly counsel? You see, among all the voices that fill the world today, offering you advice, offering you counsel, how do we determine what is carnal or what is godly? In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. There are some tests, folks, and I believe there are some tests that we can look at tonight that will help us to distinguish godly from ungodly counsel. And there's a concrete test, and that concrete test is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's a concrete test for believers. What does the Word of God say about my problem? What does the Word of God say about my situation? See, often we look at God's Word as the last resort. We wait until we are so perplexed. We wait until we are so confused that we finally begin to seek counsel from the Scripture. Yet if we would consider God's Word before we are in the midst of a problem, we could prevent a lot of problems in our lives. You cannot get past the Scripture for direction for your life and walk with God. Amen? Folks, you must remember all Scripture is inspired of God. All Scripture. Not just the parts that we like or that we agree with, but all Scripture is given to us for doctrine, reproof, and correction and righteousness. If you are seeking answers to a problem and you get advice from someone, you ask yourself this. Does what this person say line up with Scripture? If it doesn't, you need to reject it. The next test that we ought to look in our lives is the character test. This test could be called the character test. In other words, it is a person offering you advice. Are they an example of a godly character? Well, I don't want to hear the counsel of those who live, whose lives are out of whack. I don't want to listen to them that are hearing from God. You want to listen to people that are listening to God. Amen? And you don't hear from God unless your life is right. It doesn't matter how many people they supposedly have helped. What is the character of their life? Jesus said, you know them by their fruits. Come on. That does not mean how much they have achieved. It refers to fruit of the character of their lives. So you need to be aware that there is one danger with this test, the character test, and it is there are some very impressive counterfeits around. I said there are some very impressive counterfeits around. The Bible warns of wolves in sheep clothing. See, the devil himself is able to take on the guise of angel of light. And some are false counselors. Some are false teachers. Some are false prophets. May have appeared of being very pious. So, folks, we need to bring everything back to the concrete test of the Word of God. And then we have the conscience test. Does the advice you're getting ring true in your conscience? Sometimes you'll hear someone's advice and in your heart and all the warning bells are going off. Something's not quite right. At other times there's a peace there that you are hearing truth, that you are hearing wisdom. But don't ever, folks, hear me tonight. Don't ever violate your conscience because of the crowd. Amen? You hear those warning bells going off in your head and you know something is not right. But then everyone else seems to be quite happy accepting it. And so you think you must be wrong and you go along with it. Telling you tonight, don't do it. Don't violate your conscience. Check it out fully. Check it out, folks. No, folks, now you need to be aware, listen, that there is also a danger with the conscience test. And it is this, the voice of our emotion, the voice of our feelings, usually screams the loudest. Don't get them confused. You ever see the little devil, the angel on one side? Do it.
No.
Do it. No. Listen to what you know to be true. And for that reason, again, folks, we must always come back to the concrete test. What's the Word say? What does the Word say? All other tests submit to the Word test. What does the Scripture say? If you are not a Christian, you need to be careful because your conscience still has yet to be illuminated by the light of God in Scripture. So the Bible tells us that we are to test all things. Amen? We should use the conscience test and the character test. But most importantly of all, folks, the concrete test is the Word of God. Hallelujah. You see, folks, we can be like King Ahab and surround ourselves with people who will tell us things that we want to hear, that listen to those teachers that are pleasing to the ear. But at the end of the day, folks, do yourself a favor. At best, it will lead you to, if you listen to those false prophets, it'll lead you into bondage. And still, it could lead us to complete destruction in our lives. You need to listen to the things of God, the Word of God. Amen. So take matters seriously. A wise person will seek only godly counsel, even though it contains no flattery and is often hard. Let's stand in this house tonight. Who are you listening to? If I ask you to picture that authority in your life, who are you picturing? Who are you submitting yourself to? What is the character like in their life? Let me tell you something, folks. God knows who needs to be in your life better than you do. Amen. I pray that you're not like King Ahab and say, I hate that counsel. I don't like it. God has you where you're at for a reason. It's what you need to get you to heaven. God don't make mistakes. Amen. God does not make mistakes. God doesn't make junk. Knows exactly what we need. And I want to open this altar tonight to those that say, God, help me. Help me, God, to accept that counsel in my life, even if it hurts, even if it crushes me, even if I don't like it, even if I hate that pastor. Come on, this altar's open.